Welcome to the Well One Connection, a podcast from Huron Regional Medical Center. The right care is right here.
Welcoming to the Well One Connection podcast today, I have Karen Decker with me. Karen, you've been with HRMC Community Hospice for quite a while.
12 years, 13 years, something like that.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. First, just to start us off, for those that might not know you, can you explain your role a little bit here at HRMC?
I have a couple roles with hospice. I am one of the hospice nurses, and I also am the bereavement coordinator and volunteer coordinator. Bereavement means just grief support. I'm there to support our patients and our families, and then when our patients have passed, I continue to support their families through, and this is a national hospice thing, we support families for a full year once their loved one has passed. That doesn't mean grief ends in a year. It's just the first year is the hard. You got the first birthday anniversaries and all of that. We provide support there. And then with the volunteer coordinator, I work with our volunteers and train them and assign them and help them provide support for our patients as well.
Yeah, which is such a wonderful thing that we can provide and our community really provides to others here. So just to start off, before we get into all of that, hospice is something that we don't really know a lot about until we know someone that needs it.
Right.
So can you explain to us what hospice is? And sometimes with that, it comes what hospice is not.
Hospice, by definition, is a team approach, and we provide care for people facing a life-limiting illness or an injury. It focuses on caring, not curing, and in most cases, it's provided in a patient's home. One of the big myths and we hear is we have to wait till your very last days and then you're very medicated and you're not really having quality time with your families. And that's not true at all. We want our patients to have quality of life and encourage family caregiving or do a lot of teaching and encourage them to be spending quality time with their families. And we provide pain management, symptom management, emotional support, spiritual support, and all of that. It's just the idea of living until you die. And we want that to be quality time.
Absolutely. So important when you're facing something like that, or you have a family member facing something like that. And when you have those situations arise, no one's ever really ready for that. Right. So is it something that is helpful if we talk about and learn about and maybe plan for before we're there?
Absolutely. That's things to talk about with your family. And something I've worked with in the past is called the Conversation Starter Program. And they're really encouraging planning ahead and talking with your family. And here we're coming up on holidays. That's a good time. You've got all your family there and it's explaining what your wishes are for your end of life cares and answering questions and having your family. Sometimes there are some differences in ideas, but just to let them know what your wishes are and coming aboard and planning that out. You can also talk with your physician. In fact, we call it advanced care planning, and you can make an appointment with your physician or your private primary care provider and actually talk about your wishes for if that time comes where, okay, I've got a life-limiting illness or injury, they've done what they can, doctor's recommending, there's not much we can do, let's talk about hospice. That planning, and Medicare pays for that, is a billable service, just even calling and say, hey, I want to make an appointment with my primary care provider to talk about that.
Yeah, that's very important
to have all that while you're able to make that decisions and not having your family come to that time of crisis and trying to figure out what to do. You've made that decision already. And so that just helps ease your family.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's something that would then remain or stay in your medical record, I assume. So that can help provide your family with that guidance when
right.
that time comes.
And part of that advanced care planning is actually called an advanced directive, or sometimes you hear the word living will. And that is actually in writing. You make those decisions about what's your care. You hear DNR, do not resuscitate, DNI, do not intubate. And there's a lot more levels to it. But again, that's something with you talk with your physician. And you get it in writing while you're able to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. And then you just have your family advocate for you and says, this is what they would have wanted. This is what they want. And so we'll support that decision.
We think that's got to be a hard conversation to have. Right. But we all, I think, for the most part, want to do the best thing for our families. And so I'm sure you've seen it time and time again that having something like that in place really helps yeah. the family.
There are a few questions just basic to think about. What matters most to you at the end of life? And who will be the family member to speak for you? A lot of times a person will actually assign somebody to be their power of attorney for healthcare, or that'll be their voice that will carry out your wishes. Talk about treatments that you want or don't want. Mm-hmm. And how do you want to spend your last days? Most of the time, hospice care is provided in the home, but sometimes it requires, or if the family's not able to provide that level of care, we contract with both Avanterra Nursing Home in town and the New Peaceful Pines. There's other options for care level if needed. And then who do you want to be surrounded by? Obviously, a lot of times that's, I want my family there, or special friends or people to be with you. So those are just things to talk about in that conversation.
Yeah, that's great. Are there tools, and this might be asking a lot, but are there tools that, I think we have some resources, where should people get tools to help them through that? I know they're everywhere. I think you can Google it. Sure. You'll have a tool yeah. at your fingertips. But sure. are there some tools that you recommend specifically to help families through those conversations and maybe to have those things memorialized sure. On paper?
Obviously, locally, any of our hospice team, we would love to sit down and visit with you and just talk about things like that. It's a pretty easy conversation to have. We can ask any questions, we can answer for you, to have that conversation with your family and your primary care provider. There are a couple websites, and I'll give those to you. It's Conversation Starter Project.
Okay.
And the other one is called momentsoflife.org. And those both are really good resources to help you in those decision-making process.
It's always helpful to have something like that, sure. or to come in and sit down and know that it's okay to call you and have those conversations with the hospice team.
Oh, absolutely. We'd love to do that.
Yeah. Okay, great. We'll provide that contact information at the end of our conversation here today. So much that the team does. I think one of the things that maybe we did not talk about, it is the cost of hospice and how that can be attainable. I think some people are afraid of that and think, I don't need that just to, it's going to be an enormous cost for myself right. or my family. So right. can you explain how the cost structure for hospice
Absolutely.
Works?
That is a benefit of Medicare, Medicaid, most insurances and HMOs will provide that service. And what hospice does provide, we pay for medications that are related to the terminal illness or condition mm-hmm. and equipment like the hospital bed, or if there's oxygen or other equipment needed, that's all provided by, that's part of the Medicare, Medicaid benefits for hospice.
Yeah.
So again, something we could talk about, what are your resources in that?
Sure. So you can help have those conversations on an individual basis, because
Absolutely.
Obviously that's
yeah.
different for everyone. Yeah. Okay. That is great to know. Mm-hmm. Some of the benefits that people reap from having hospice, again, is that volunteer care and that mm-hmm. person to come in and certainly help provide those supports. And can you explain to us what a hospice volunteer does?
Sure. Basically, they provide socialization for our patients and respite for family. We actually have two kinds of volunteers. One is the indirect care, and they don't do any direct care with our patients, but they do help us with a lot of administrative work in the office. They will come and help stuff folders. They help me with some mailings. We've got a tree of memories coming up, which we'll talk about. They help with those kind of things. Our direct care, they don't do any hands-on care. That's for our nurses and aides, but they do provide socialization, which means just sitting and listening to our patients, sometimes reading, helping them write letters, doing any kinds of things like that, talking and visiting. And then sometimes just providing respite if the family member needs to go get groceries or doctor's appointment, or sometimes we just encourage them to go get some coffee,
mm-hmm.
take a little break. Yep, absolutely. So that's what our volunteers do, is they help both patient and family.
Yeah, wonderful. I know there's an individual that actually works here mm-hmm. at the hospital that has recently decided to become a hospice volunteer. And she's so filled with joy in what yes. she's getting out of this. Yep. You think, I'm not volunteering to get something out of it. I'm volunteering right. to help someone else. Mm-hmm. But I think she's found that she's gotten so much out of it. So just hearing those stories is really cool.
Oh, absolutely. It's beneficial. We get that question all the time. How do you do what you do?
Right.
But it's very rewarding, and just seeing the growth that happens within a person and their families too, even at the end of life.
So what I've noticed with that individual that works here, she's a full-time employee, and mm-hmm. then she's also volunteering. So that brings me to, what type of time commitment is required. I think sometimes when people think, I want to volunteer, but gosh, I just don't know if I have the time to do
it. It depends on the family. We like that they would do maybe an hour or two a week, but once I assign you the volunteer to a patient family, they give the contact information and they just decide, you know, the family, what do we want this volunteer to do? Do we want an hour at a time, two at a time? I know one of my volunteers will come and sit with a patient when their spouse needs to go even to another town for an appointment. Mm-hmm. So that time commitment is really, you tell me what you're available to do. We don't do shift work. So it might be an hour, two, three at a time. Yeah. And that just really depends on what you're available and want to do.
Yeah. So definitely variable to based upon, and maybe don't be afraid to ask, even if I only have an hour a week. It's definitely something I can talk to you about.
Absolutely. Okay. Sometimes it's just, hey, I've got time. 20 minutes here and there is fine. Again, that's just adding some socialization and time there. Yeah.
Great. If there are people who are interested and maybe they just want to, if they're not ready to sign up yet, but they want to learn a little bit more, should they reach out to you, Karen? Is that the best thing to do?
Yes, call the hospice office and talk, and I would love to visit with you
about that. Okay. Other things that you would like to cover or share about hospice?
One of the questions I get a lot is, I thought this was just for cancer. And it's not. It's for any life-limiting illness. And Medicare does require that the doctor says a six-month prognosis. I always say that's just a number that we write down and we forget. We've had patients that continue care beyond that, as long as that, by definition, the decline is still there. So it don't wait until that last minute when you've had that conversation with the doctor in primary care and they say, this is what we need to talk about. That's the time to get started. We have hospice patients that still are driving and doing what they need to do, but it's establishing that relationship. And so it doesn't have to be just cancer. It's any illness that the doctor would deem as life-limiting. A lot of it is just education at the beginning and what are your symptoms and management. We do a lot of education there.
Okay, great. It's such an important and valuable service that we have here in our community. Karen, if someone were to want to reach out to you and the hospice team to either call in to talk about what pre-planning might look like or that advanced planning or just learning about hospice, what number should they call?
At 605-353-6520.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you again, and wishing you a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for listening to the Well One Connection. This podcast is informational only and not intended to replace the advice of your healthcare provider. Heron Regional Medical Center, online at heronregional.org.